Imadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and this week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison will be continuing on from what he shared last week on distinguishing from good spirits and bad spirits, and having authority over these spirits. The spirits that tried to cause harm to his daughter and having authority over the demonic spirits in the town of Madawi. Now, Tony continues the story of what happened after he and his family returned home from that preaching trip.
When I'd finished preaching that weekend, we had a long trip home, and when we got home about 4 a.m. in the morning, I dropped all the other families off at their place, and it was only me and my family to come home. I parked the car, and when I got out of the car to go and unlock the house, there was this huge demonic spirit in the front yard, and I was tired. I'd been away ministering all weekend, and this spirit looked at me in the eye, and he told me his job was to destroy me, my ministry, and my family. And I looked him in the eye and said, "Take a number, because I know my God is more powerful than you are, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to stand on God's promises." And I just ignored it and went inside. And you know what? I slept like a baby, knowing full well that I don't have to live in fear. You know, when I was a child, when I was a little child, I guess my very first encounter with demonic spirits was I was about 2 years old, and we lived on the mission. Because we had a lot of people living with us in a three-bedroom home, me and my oldest brother, we slept in Mum and Dad's room. And I was about 2 years old, so my brother would have been about 4. And a demonic spirit came through the wall into Mum's bedroom and picked my brother up and was taking him and actually took him out of the room. And I saw it, and I jumped out of bed and jumped on Mum's chest. I woke Mum and Dad up, and I told them what had happened. Dad had grabbed a few of the elders, and they followed this spirit down to the river. And this spirit was actually trying to drown my older brother. And Dad told us that when my brother was born, the mission was separated from the town and separated from the hospital. When my brother was born, Dad said they was coming home from the hospital to the mission, and a spirit came out of the briar bushes and stood in front of my dad, and it asked for the baby. It said, "You have to hand the child over to me. We need this child." And Dad picked up a stick and he threw it at the spirit, and it just went straight through the spirit, and the spirit disappeared. That was the very first time my family had encountered this spirit. And then it came back and tried to take my brother, like I just said. And you know, years later, I was working at a hospital. I was security, I was a porter cleaner. I did the cleaning and the washing of the floors, the mopping, and I got the linen and got the garbage out, and I did this every night. And one particular night, I was sitting in the kitchen and I was reading a cowboy book, and all of a sudden, pots and pans started flying around the room in the kitchen all by themselves. And I knew one of the windows was open, and I thought it might have been a storm brewing. But I actually walked around the kitchen, and all the elements on the cooking stuff were turned on, and there was nobody in there but me. So I turned everything off, and they still stayed on. And then pots and pans started flying around, but it gave me the heebie-jeebies. I started to pray, and I said, "God, you know, what's going on here?" And then when I left the kitchen to do my rounds on the security, I walked down towards the morgue, and this spirit stepped out in front of me. First of all, I just thought it was a woman who was, you know, looking for the nurse's home or looking to get into the hospital. I just saw this woman step out in front of me, and she called me by name and said they'd come for me. And then when I saw it and had a good look, it was the same spirit that I'd saw when I was a little child. So this thing actually was coming against my family. And so when I shined the torch on it, the torch actually went straight through it. Me and my feet was frozen to the ground. I wanted to get out of there. Everything inside of me was screaming, "Run, run, run." But where do you go? Anyway, so I finished up racing into the nurse's home, and I was telling the nurses what I saw. And then I finally got the courage to pray. God said to me, "Tony, you need to pray and break this curse. It's been a curse that's been put on your family. And until you break the full cycle of this thing, like the sins from the father handed down over the children, you need to pray and come against this. Because if you don't, it's always going to keep coming back." But it reminds me, it did come back before that, when we lived in Mount Druitt. When my little girl was born and I was working night shift, I'd come home late at night and I was laying in bed the next morning, and all the other kids were at school, and my little girl was about 4 years old, and she said to her mummy, she said, "Who's that little girl laying next to Dad in bed?" And she said, "There's no one in the house." And she went out there and she saw this thing laying on the bed next to Dad while Dad was asleep, while I was asleep. And that spirit's been plaguing and following my family since I was 2 years old. We had to break that curse over the families, you know, because a lot of Aboriginal people, they become Christians. They come into the church, they love God, and pastors don't realize that they need to break this curse over these people's lives. Not only with Aboriginal people, with white people too, you need to break the sins of the father over the family. Because if you don't, they'll keep going back. It's like the old Bindi Walsh, you take 2 steps forward and 3 back. So it means people come into the church, they get on fire for God, and it doesn't last because they keep going back. They keep going back to what's familiar to them, and they'll always keep going back until that's broken. And there's only one way you're going to break that, is through the love and the power of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus took all that crap and he nailed it to the cross. And see, we can be set free from that. If you're caught up in bondage today, if you're caught up in witchcraft today, if you're caught up in things of your past and from your family's history, you know, when I move into a house, if I buy a new house and move into it, the first thing I do is pray through the house and get rid of the demonic spirits that might have been left behind from other families. Years ago, I went into this house and I prayed through this house. This woman, she had 3 little children, and continually had problems in the house. The kids were always sick, no matter what she did. And then when I went in there and prayed throughout the house, there was 9 demonic spirits living in that house. We found out from the people that rented the place previously, their children was always sick. And you know, the family before that was always sick. So these spirits that lived in this house brought sickness and disease. God is an overcomer of sickness and disease. You won't find sickness and disease and fear in heaven. And for the believer, you need to believe that you're an overcomer because you got Jesus Christ on your side.
Stay in the fight till the final round. You're not going under, 'cause God is
So far today on King's Kids, Tony has been sharing with us about a demonic spirit in his family and how it has been in his family since he was four, and how he drew on the strength of his faith in God to always defeat the demonic spirit around him. In 1 John 4, verse 4, it tells us, "Little children, you are from God and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now let's hear more from Tony and how we also can be overcomers with God.
If you love God today and you're still experiencing these things, then you really need prayer. You need to talk to somebody. You need to go to your pastor and say, "Look, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling in this area because I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to get rid of it." And you know, it just doesn't have to be fear. It could be gambling. It could be lust. It could be sexual immorality. It could be adultery. All of these things. It could be anxiety. You might be afraid to leave your house. And you say, "Well, I love God and I love to go to church, but I'm too afraid to leave the house." And you see, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to be controlled by spirits. The only spirit you need to be controlled by, and that's the Holy Spirit. You have to let God come into your heart, and you need God to deal with these things. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to get on our hands and knees and say a long-winded King James prayer. We don't need somebody to intercede on our behalf. We can just say, "God, I really need help in this area. God, I really need you to jump all over this fear because I'm sick of living in fear. I need you to deal with it. God, I'm sick of being religious. I'm sick of being controlled by these demonic spirits." You say, "Father God, you know I love you so much. I want to do these things. The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, I finish up doing." And you see, God said that. He's got an answer for that, and it's called grace. In the Bible, Paul says, "God, why is it the things that I want to do, I don't do, and why are the things that I don't want to do, I finish up doing?" And God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." If you don't really know God and trust God as a Father, you know, His grace is always sufficient for you, for me. You really need to believe God and who He says He is. God is our Father in heaven. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. You mightn't be able to trust me. You mightn't be able to trust your father or your pastor or your brother and sister because you've been hurt. But you need to know that you can trust God. God will never let you down. I know the times when I struggle, to do what God wants me to do. There are times I know I mean well, I want to do these things, I want to pray, I want to spend time with God, but things of the world get in the road. With God, we can overcome all these things. And you need to know that God is not just a spirit sitting out there in the middle of nowhere that doesn't care. God cares so much for you, for me, and everybody else that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in your place.
Oh, I know you've been through some
Jackie Velasquez, God So Loved.
Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me.
You know, for many years I've struggled to get back to that first love, my first love with God. When I first got saved, all I ever wanted to do was spend time with God. And being in prison, there wasn't a lot of distractions once you got past the crap that was going on in the prison. You know, you spent 18 hours a day locked up on your own. And during that 18 hours a day, with nothing else to do but spend time with God. Those were treasured moments because I didn't have any distractions. I wanted to learn about God. I wanted to read His Word. I listened to Jimmy Swaggart. I had one tape. And I read and I learnt and I listened and I watched television on the Sundays. Anything, long as it was God, I had an hunger and a thirst for God. Walking so close with God like that for 5 years, as I did that second term of prison, 5 years, being so close with God. You know, I can remember walking around the perimeter of the prison, just talking to God, just talking to Him softly, and hearing His voice as He guided me throughout the day and throughout the prison. Those special times, just me and God. And you know, when the times got tough in prison, when people tried to murder me, it was those times that I was able to continue on without fear, because I knew who I was in God. I wasn't Bible learned. I didn't have the teaching of somebody in a Sunday church service every week. I didn't have anybody to teach me about God. It was just me and God spending that time together. And though I knew who I was, and that first love with God was so special. And I was as fit as a mallee bull in prison because I had plenty of time to exercise. I used to run a lot. I was privileged towards the end of my time to be allowed outside the prison to run. And even to run and to focus on God while you're running. And I used to play football. Used to think God was part of everything that I did. And yet now that I'm outside of prison, there's so many distractions. You got television, you got friends, you got family, you got commitments. And I just can't seem to get enough of God. I can't seem to get enough time to spend with my God. And yet He knows that my love for Him hasn't diminished. It hasn't dropped off because I can't spend that time with Him. The best of all about the soul thing is, even when we struggle with our relationships and struggle with our everyday life, you know, God's love for us doesn't diminish either. God says He can't love us any more than He already does. You know, He just loves us. And you know, when you're out there today and if you're lonely, you could be the loneliest person in the world in a room full of people. You could be suffering a broken relationship at the moment. The person that you married is not the person that you're with now. Not the person that you thought they were. When you've had a broken heart, when you've fallen out of love with somebody and somebody special has left you because of your behavior or whatever else. I was once taken by a word of an old country western song, there's nothing cold as ashes after the fire is gone. And I tell you what, if you've been walking with Jesus and you stop walking with Him, you'll know the meaning of those words. Without God's love in your heart, there's nothing cold as ashes.
That's all we have time for this week. I'm Heidi. This has been King's Kids. You can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or Tony would love to hear from you for prayer or a chat on 0427 839 747. That's 0427 839 747. See you next week.